What's up, everyone? I'm your host, Elijah Chilembe, and welcome to episode 6 of The Breakdown. Really happy that you are here listening on whatever platform that this show is distributed on. Thank you so much for your support, your feedback, and your constant motivation. I hope this goes long ways. All the positivity and you know, words of encouragement that I get, it speaks volumes, high volumes. I am, again, traveling this weekend. I got a really important rugby match in New Mexico, and I cannot miss the opportunity. I'm actually traveling tonight, really soon. Once I get out of here, I am going home, getting my bag, and I am out of the state. So, the reason is, that's why I'm going to have a short show. I don't like missing opportunities on recording. I had a malfunction again with my weekend recovery. Thankfully, I got that up, and it's up on Anchor. I believe I covered the World Club Challenge, the AAF, and the All-Star Game. Today, I am going to cover my own review of the Carolina-Duke game. Huge Carolina fan, and I am very happy that we got the win last night. Really gutted that I could not see much of Zion Williamson after the injury he had. It was really tough to watch after he left, how he got hurt. Then after that, I was just really happy that the boys took care of business. A lot of people are not giving Carolina credit from the game. I think they're a Final Four team, and they showed that they can. They can play when the pressure is on. And in other topics, I have, should college players be paid? Just to follow the Carolina-Duke game. Because it could have gotten worse, and it could have gotten really bad. And that's where that subject comes into play. And then really, just to wrap it up, I'm not going to take too much time, maybe about 25, 30 minutes possibly. Always music's always in the background, you know. I went through a lot of my files, went through my playlists, and, you know, I had to get some of the throwbacks on there, and then I have some new stuff in there. But I am going to go over the Champions League, all the games, all of them at once, just give my quick review. Some interesting matchups, and a lot of games are going to be open in March. That first week, second week of March, second legs are going to be really open. And it's going to really decide who could run away with the Champions League. So I'm going to take a 30-second, maybe not even now, actually take a 15-second break, and I will get into the UNC-Duke game. This is The Breakdown, The Players Breakdown. I'm your host, Elijah Chilembe, and I'll be right back in 15. Alright, I'm your host, Elijah Chilembe, and welcome back to The Players Breakdown. I just want to adjust my volume here. Hope everyone's doing well. Hope you're having a fantastic Thursday. Really happy that you are here listening on anchor.fm/breakdown or on whatever all the platforms that this podcast has been distributed on. Really like to thank Anchor for their help. They're always motivating me, encouraging me, sending me emails, calling me, and like, hey, you're doing a great job. Just the little stuff that really matters. Right now, let's just get into the first subject. I have three main subjects I'd like to go through. First is the Carolina-Duke game, and that's really the big event of the night. Fans have been really looking forward to it, you know. Nasir Little, Kobe White against the big three of Duke, and, you know, trying to see who's going to grind out a W. And let's get into it. So, first 30 seconds. Tip off, and you're just like, all right, let's get this show on the road. This is gonna be maybe one of the games of the season. And Zion gets hurt. And I was I stood there stunned, and I'm like, wow, like, this is not what I expected to happen. Went, took a dribble around the elbow and just fell, blew out of his shoe. And I'm just sitting here like, did he really just like, did his shoe like just rip? And it did, around the large gap of the shoe. And personally, I think Nike should address this. But I mean, Nike is a very strong company. So even with the bad PR that a lot of people are trying to give them, they'll find a way through it. I really hope Zion gets better. Great guy, great player. But as Coach Case said, you might have really lost a National Player of the Year candidate. With all the people that were there, especially like President Obama and Ken Griffey Jr., it's really difficult to see what happened. And it's really difficult, you know, that kind of killed the mood of the game. But huge credit to my boys in light blue. Right there, right when that ball was taken away, they scored the first points of the game. And just from there, Duke did not lead in that whole game. It wasn't just nobody expected Carolina to win. I mean, Duke was favored by 9.5 points, but Carolina wins by 16. And, you know, the bonus, you know, when you beat Duke, especially as a Carolina fan, and, you know, when Duke has that number one next to their name and you beat them, man, that speaks volumes, speaks volumes. Right now, the ACC is in the top three is a three-way tie. Virginia at 11-2, Duke at 11-2, Carolina at 11-2. The only thing that really separates them is just their overall record, pushing Virginia on top of Duke at 23-2, Duke at 23-3, Carolina at 21-5. And then just really two games behind the top three would be Florida State at 9-4, but with a 21-5 record. Back to the game, Luke May, my God. This guy is just a legend. He is the first Carolina player. I don't think the first Carolina, but for the first time in his career, he scored 30 or more against NC State and against Duke. So he scores against both in-state rivals and both RWs. Huge wins. Much needed wins. And North Carolina, I'm telling you guys, North Carolina, this is a Final Four caliber team. Obviously, we've known, you might have seen in the past, teams that have ended up losing this game could possibly make a long run. Let's look at the squad that lost the national championship game in 2017 to Villanova. They beat Duke, lost national title game the year after. As you know, not 2017, but 2016, I'm sorry. Look at the year after. Lost to Duke, but won the national championship. Duke, when they won in 2015, pretty much, you know, same thing. Let's go through the stats. Luke May, my player of the game. 14 of 24 from the field. 1 for 4 from the three-point line. 1 to 2 free throws. 15 total rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, no blocks, but 30 points. Fantastic performance from him all around, double-double. I expected him to have a big game, and he just went out and showed out and balled out. Other players, Cam Johnson, also fantastic player. He also had a fantastic game. Really played the inside game very well, 11 of 17 from the field. 4 for 5 on free throws, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, and 26 points. Fantastic contribution to the team there. And then other players, a lot of the other players didn't really score as much and as often. Like Nasir Little, he only had 2 points. Kobe White only had 9. Garrison Brooks also had a really good game as well. The sophomore from, what state is he from? Yeah, the sophomore from Alabama. He played very well. I think he had 14 points. Those three really just, they commanded. They took control of the game. Seventh Woods, that dunk to to end the half really set the tone. Like they put their foot on the ground. They said, no, Zion or not, we are going to beat you in all phases of the game, and we're going to leave Duke with a W. And that's what they did. Just took care of business, and I'm really pleased to see them do so. Changes in rankings. I expect some leniency from the AP poll. Don't put them no lower than 4. They're still dangerous. They're very dangerous. Carolina, I don't see them no higher than 4 or 5 right now, or maybe 6. No higher than 6, or so in between that 4 to 6 range. No higher than that. For Duke, RJ Barrett basically played the whole game, no breaks. 11 of 22 from the field, 3 of 11 from 3-point line, 3-point range, 8 of 10 in free throws, 13 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 block, and 33 points. So another double-double for him. He's another Player of the Year candidate, for, in my opinion. Cam Reddish, 35 minutes, 10 of 23, 4 of 12 from 3, 3 of 5 from the stripe, 27 points, and just 3 rebounds, no assists, and just a steal. For the first time, I've been following Zion since he was just kicking butt in South Carolina. First time I've actually seen him with zeros before. But I know he's going to be able to, he's right now, from what I heard, he went from no timetable to now. I did get an info alert about 2-3 minutes ago saying that he is day to day. Just rest that leg up, buddy. I mean, team's going to need you. Other players that really made an effort just after Zion left, it didn't do so well. Trey Jones literally had 3 points. I thought he was going to do much better. DeLaurier, he only had 6. White, 2. O'Connell, 1. So, not what Duke wanted. Not what many of the fans wanted. I mean, the tickets were getting close to Super Bowl tickets, and it did not go as planned. Other games that were played that night, major upsets. Cam McClung dispatched Villanova, did very well. There was this point where I was following the game on Snapchat and on Twitter, the dude hit 5 straight threes. Like, he was just on fire. He could not be stopped. They took care of the defending national champs by 12 points, 85-73. And then Louisville, who I expected to bounce back after those losses that they had, they get blown out by Syracuse in that same night. I don't know if it was the same night, but pedestrian was struck by the coach's car, Coach Jim Boeheim. I know mentally that does not do him any good, and it's really hard to lose a member of the community. Very unlucky. Prayers to that pedestrian and his family. Other upsets that night, Florida beat LSU. And then what really struck me the most, Nevada losing to San Diego State 65-57. The Martin brothers, Caleb himself, he had, I believe, 25. 5 for 14 from the field. 20 points, 5 for 14 from the field, 7 rebounds, and 7 for 8 from the free throw. Really disappointing to see Nevada lose this game. One of my favorites to win their conference and to make a deep run, possibly an Elite Eight or a Final Four appearance, but I think that their mentality has taken a big hit. Do I expect it to bounce back from this? Yes, for sure, because I think they are leading. They are basically ahead of their conference by half a game with Utah State, who is literally nipping at their heels at 11-3. They lost as well, and they're currently 21-6. They're going to be a number one or number two seed no matter what, and I expect them to get far. I just got a breaking news that the NBA is proposing changes to the draft age from 19 years old to 18 years old. So basically, just in about 10 minutes ago, maybe 5 minutes ago, an article I'm reading right now, the NBA has formally proposed changing the draft eligible age requirement from 19 to 18 to the National Basketball Players Association, reported by USA Today. USA Today, citing a source report, and I am also citing the sources that I am reading from, which is ESPN and USA Today, reported that the union and its executive director, Michelle Roberts, plan to review the proposal at the post-All-Star break meeting Monday. The timeline of the formal proposal is not related to the knee injury suffered by Duke freshman and likely number one draft pick Zion Williamson on Wednesday night, according to USA Today. League sources have told ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski in October that the sides have been struggling to reach an agreement on lowering the age requirement. Wow. So there's a possibility that guys could be able to go to the draft if the proposal has been accepted. There's a possibility that the guys, the high school players, can be able to go to the NBA directly from high school. Yes, no, do I like it? I'm gonna be neutral right now, because you got great players in high school. I mean, for example, Nico Mannion, and then you got LiAngelo Ball playing lights out at Spire, and I don't know. Once the gesture is approved, or the motion is approved, I'll read more, do more research on that, and to give my opinion on is this a good or a bad thing. But other big top 25 games tonight on ESPN, it's going to be Michigan and Minnesota. Michigan ranked number 7 and currently 23-3. Hopefully a win would put them in the top 5, possibly. Gonzaga, poised right now for the number 1 ranking. The ranking that they had back in 2016-17 when they went to the national final, only to lose to North Carolina. They're currently 25-2, so I expect them to beat Pepperdine University and possibly take back the number 1 ranking. Moving on to the Champions League. There it is. First leg, round of 16. Roma, Porto, Man United, PSG, Tottenham, Dortmund, Madrid, Ajax, Lyon, Barca, Liverpool, Bayern, Atletico, Juventus, Schalke, and City. Game that really surprised me the most right now is Lyon-Barca. Lyon, everybody, if I'm going to get this right, I was reading some betting stuff. A lot of people expected Barca to win at least by a clear 2 or 3 goals, and that just didn't happen. Lyon stood their ground and have really opened up this game. Barca took 25 shots. None of them went in. 5 were on target. They dominated most of the possession. They had the corners. They had the offsides. But, I mean, Lyon was really, if I want to say this, I think Lyon parked the bus and it paid off. And I think a lot of Lyon fans are going to be very pleased with that. Come to the game in Camp Nou, it's going to be really different. Come March 13th, it's going to be a really different game. For Man United and PSG, I expected Manchester United to take the advantage of not having Neymar play, and that did not come to effect. And Kimpembe and Mbappe really took care of business, and they pounced on the 2-0 win at Old Trafford. Paul Pogba, silly mistake, silly nonsense, gets ejected. He's not playing in the second leg. And if it goes on, I don't think he's playing in the Premier League game either. But to the stats, PSG took 12 shots, 5 were on target, dominated the possession, and United just didn't really, they just did not come out to play, and the best team on the field won that day. Tottenham, Dortmund. Tottenham 3, Dortmund 0. Dortmund, same thing like I said with the PSG game. Dortmund did not come out to play. Sung Heung-min scored in the 47th, Vertonghen in the 83rd, and El Oriente in the 86th to pretty much wrap up the spoils. And in my opinion, they're in the quarterfinals. 15 shots on target for Tottenham. 15 shots, and then 5 were on target. They dominated the possession, dominated the ball. Ball movement was fantastic. It's going to be tough for Dortmund to overturn this deficit at Signa Park in March. Maybe a 1-1 does it for Tottenham and sends him to the next round. Ajax Madrid. Controversy after controversy. First goal. Keeper mistake. Blunder by Courtois. And boom. Ajax is in front. And then, like, Madrid was lucky that the VAR fell in their favor. This allowed the goal. And Benzema would score, open the game. And then Hakim Ziyech would score in the 75th to equalize the game, giving Ajax some hope. So Ajax does have a chance in this game. If they just need one, and they could be through. But Marco Asensio was very clutch, 3 minutes to go, putting the game back in Madrid's favor, going to Santiago Bernabeu in March. Same thing. 1-1 does it for Real Madrid, sending them to the round of 8, the quarterfinal. Liverpool-Bayern. I'm a Liverpool fan, and I'm kind of concerned. We held our ground. It was Mo Salah gonna take over, or was Ian Robin and gonna end his hoodoo at Anfield? He says it's one of his worst stadiums, and I do agree with that. No shots on target for Bayern, 2 for Liverpool. Both teams combined 24 shots. In my opinion, the possession was even, but it does favor Bayern, I believe, 51-49%-ish. Really physical game. When it really comes to Bayern-Liverpool, it is maybe one of the most physical game in the competition. Good game from both sides, but when it goes to Allianz, I think it should go distance. A possible 0-0, even maybe a lucky 1-1 will send it to extra time and possibly penalties. But I do see my Reds going through and getting to the quarterfinal. Atletico 2, Juventus nothing. Jimenez scored in the 78th, and Captain Diego wrapping up the spoils for Atletico in the 83rd. 2-0 win, 5 shots on target, had the least of possession, but Ronaldo, Diabala, and co. just could not get the game to fall in their favor. Really disappointing. In my opinion right now, Atletico Madrid are the favorites to go through to the next round. Why? Because they capitalized where Juventus could not. And that's really disappointing if you're a Juventus fan, because you really want to win the Champions League this year, especially with the team and the lineup that you have. Juventus needs to score quickly and score often in the second leg if they want that shot of getting to the quarterfinal. To wrap up the Champions League, Man City Schalke was fun to watch. Schalke opening the score. I mean, not Schalke opening story, but Schalke reversing the game on its head by halftime. Aguero scored a great goal to open the game. Nabil Bentaleb, in my opinion, that is the MVP of the game. Scoring twice in 7 minutes. two penalties. And then Sané's goal was amazing to see. Free kick was on target, on point, and paid dividends. Raheem Sterling, just like as he was at Liverpool, just being clutch as usual, scoring at the 90th minute and really giving Man City the chance of very good advantage heading into the City of Manchester Stadium next in August, or Etihad Stadium. I do expect them to get grind out maybe another 2-1 win. Maybe a 2-2 draw should do them. 1-1. Should a tie is fine. They'll get through. But I just don't see them going no further than the quarterfinals. Same with Schalke if they were to upset Man City. That is my Champions League review. I would say I'm just almost there. I'm going to take about 15, 30 seconds. And I'm going to get into a subject that really gets to me a lot. As of if college athletes should be paid or not. I'm going to take about 5-6 minutes on that. And then no live stuff today. I might put that in there. I might talk about it a bit. About maybe 2-3 minutes. And then I will call this show a wrap. And I will be back Monday. And then Monday and Thursday I could be able to have a 1-hour show because I don't have any matches that week. And I'll take that 15-second break. This is the Players Breakdown. I'm your host, Elijah Chilembe. Thank you for listening so far on Anchor and all the distributed platforms out there. I'll be back in 15. Right, has it been 15 seconds? I think it has. It stopped at what, 47? It's about 02. That's when I start. Hello, good morning, good afternoon, whenever, wherever you are listening. This is The Breakdown. I'm your host, Elijah Chilembe. And quick reminder, NBA action tonight. I believe it's 4 right now as I'm recording. In about an hour or so, Boston, Milwaukee, TNT, fun game. Record it, put it on your DVR, get the popcorn, and then to wrap up the night, you got LeBron, James Harden, madness in Houston, and that's going to be an 8:30 game. That's also on TNT. Be on the lookout. Second half part of the season, LeBron said he's activating playoff mode. I am kind of shaky right now. I'm kind of like, oh boy. That's not good. When he says stuff like that, beware. The man will go wild. To continue, I'm going to get into a subject. I'd like to go talk about 5 minutes here before I wrap up today's short show before I travel. It's on the basis of should collegiate athletes be paid? This is a old age question because the goal of the NCAA is to promote amateurism and to tell players that you're not here to get paid. You're here to go to school and to get a degree and to hop on out of here. If I can say that. It's a really complicated subject. I think that collegiate athletes get, if I want to say this in the right way, pay them to take care of things that are very necessary, like, you know, phone bills, clothing, and all that, because it's important. Because I mean, we're human beings, you know. I'm a collegiate athlete myself too, and you know, I'm not saying that, you know, make the pay even between certain sports and bring it down, but don't be stingy, NCAA. Don't be stingy. Some of the guys you give scholarships to have kids, maybe one, and some have families as well that they need to take care of, so maybe that extra $200-$300 can help. Being a collegiate athlete is like having a whole nother job. And if you're my Division II athletes who are out there, it's like actually working two jobs. I went to the University of Colorado Springs, and it was ridiculous. I have friends who currently are on the track team and on the basketball team and on the soccer team and on the volleyball team. And it's, you just sit, you just watch, and you're just like, you guys are going through so much. And then sometimes give the, for universities who still have club sports that are successful in winning championships, and you're not giving, and you're not allowing them to have funding for scholarships, you need to change your mind about that. Seriously. But back to the original subject. As I was saying, for example, for D2 athletes, scholarship funds are not as on the same par level as Division I athletes. But still, those top two divisions go through so much. And Division III schools, they don't even allow to be giving scholarships. So you're basically paying for the sake of playing. You're just playing for fun. And I think that's wrong. You should deserve some kind of stipend to cover what is needed, to cover what you want, like your clothing expenses, maybe that extra phone bill expenses, maybe your personal expenses, food, water, drink, maybe to buy that extra book that is $700 and that maybe might not help you in 5 or 10 years time. That really angers me. It just does not make any sense. Why should kids still have to pay for things when they are so-called to have been paid to the full extent to go to school? So sometimes I think the NCAA is being a bit hypocritical at times. I do not want to go on a rant. I feel like I am on a rant. But I think it's just time that the NCAA just needs... You got to pay your players, man. Pay your players. You are a $1 billion industry. $1 billion. The collegiate football players, the collegiate basketball players, the soccer players, the baseball players, the track and field athletes, your lacrosse players, your emerging sports like women's rugby. Pay them as well. Bowling, give them something. You know, they're sacrificing their time to do something that they love, and they should receive some kind of compensation to be able to help themselves on their in their endeavors. Obviously, of course, there's going to be there's chances for professionalism, but what if you don't make it? What about the video games that don't exist anymore? What about those loyalties? The using of the expression of their faces, then, you know, for example, Tim Tebow, in my opinion, he is basically the greatest quarterback to play, to be part of a video game. He, maybe, and Michael Vick, and maybe, who else? If I'm going to start naming players, it's going to take a while. Vince Young, Matt Leinart, Cam. Peyton Manning in one of the video games, I think not. But, you know, using their likeness with, you know, hey, we're just going to steal your face and just put you on a video game, but we're just not going to use your number. We're just going to use your number, but it's not your name. But you have the option to go to the settings and use a random name that could actually really belong to someone in this country. Come on, man. Like, this is ridiculous. Those guys deserve compensation. But still, I am for collegiate video games. Like, I heard there was rumors that they were doing a college football. They're bringing back a college football game, but they're just not going to use the official schools. And I think that's okay. It's just a matter of just, you know, giving the people something to do. But back on the subject of why I think NCAA should play their pairs. For example, I'm not going to relate it, but I think in case of Zion being hurt last night, what if his career is over? And I hope that does not happen. I think Duke should give him some kind of compensation. Because I think without him, they're not a 23-win team right now. I think they're more of an 18-17-win team, no doubt. I'm not discrediting Cam Reddish or RJ Barrett either, nor Trey Jones. But still. The big players, the top big-time players, the J. Morants, the player at Marquette, Hachimura at Gonzaga, the players at UNC, guys like Mac McClung, you know, those really high profile players that we all know about, you know, not just them, but, you know, every player in the NCAA should receive some kind of compensation, because it's already a sacrifice of your own to be leaving home and to be miles and miles away to follow your dreams. With that, Monday, I might have a double segment. I have not decided yet, but I might want to do something to talk more about this. Personally, to wrap up today's show, I'd like to thank everyone for your comprehension and your listening. Thank you so much for the feedback. I know it's really tough to have back-to-back short shows, but, you know, it's almost that time of the year as a collegiate athlete. You know, March is almost here, and it's really hard. But I will be back to recording Monday. I'll do the best I can to be back Monday. If not, I will put up a late recording to cover what I wanted to go through. Over, actually. Thank you so much. This is The Breakdown. I'm your host, Elisha Chalembe. Don't forget, send me your info. Send me your, not your info. Send me your feedback, your motivation, your positivity. What should I do better? What should I not do in order to improve the quality of the show? If you'd like to donate, my PayPal is also in the show, the bio of the show. And if you also would like to support, it is also on the show's link. There's a part where it says support this show. Right next to the listen on your app, on the app. My PayPal, once again, is paypal.me/Elisha Chalembe, capital E and capital T. My Snapchat, EMPOVIE7. My Instagram is Chalembe, TCHILEMBE with an extra E at the end. My Twitter, first and middle name, ELIEMPOVI. Capital E and capital M. And then my Facebook is just Elisha Chalembe. Message me, text me, let me know how I'm doing. Let me know how you're doing as well. Send me your opinion. I would love to put that here on the show. Guests will be coming soon. I might have to switch studios to do a two-way microphone, but I will get that settled. Thank you so much. I appreciate all your help and all your advice. This has been the recording of The Breakdown, The Players Breakdown. I am your host, Elisha Chalembe. Remember to stay blessed, love one another, be kind, be positive, and always remain cool.